Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. I'm your host, Dr. Alan A. Brown, better known as Showtime, but I've been called a whole lot worse. How well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't dwell on negativity, and those who have great and positive things to say, thank you very much, and I hope they actually continue to stay worthy. Our show is being brought to you by GRCN Connected Community, the nonprofit organization that focuses on one thing, helping families be whole and our children in their transition from childhood to adulthood. Visit us at grcnconnects.weeksite.com/people. I know that's a whole lot of stuff, but it is what it is. I'm really excited about today. I don't know if you can tell. We've had a tremendous amount of success over a number of years, from broadcasting to China, Australia, and Turkey over the last several months. But today, I got to tell you, we're going to be talking to a young man out of Russia. If you happen to be older than me, let me tell you a great thing about Russia before we find out the truth. We used to have to hide up under desks when the alarm went off because we thought Russia was going to come and bomb us, kill us, or invade us, or something crazy like that. That was during the Cold War, obviously, just kind of a little old. However, things have changed, obviously, a lot, and we're going to learn a whole lot more, and this is, as I saw, probably one of the most memorable episodes that we could have possibly been doing. So, without further ado, I'm going to see a guest made to the air.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for the intro.
Oh, my gosh. You're amazing. Now, Brian, is it McKenzie,
yes. Like Bob and Doug off of the old Canadian TV show. Yeah.
Okay. Brian and I have been corresponding through one of the up-and-coming social media networks and learned a lot about the channel. Some of the things that you'll learn, I'm going to be learning there with you, but I will tell you this. There is not a straight shooter on the planet of the Earth more than Brian, okay? So fasten your seatbelt, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Brian, are you able to tell us where you're actually broadcasting from?
I'm broadcasting from glorious Central Asia, just across the border of Kazakhstan.
Ooh, that sounds like a long way away. I'm at Pacific Coast Standard Time, and it's 8:03 a.m. What time is it where you're at?
9:03 this side of the border. P.M.
P.M. Wow. Okay, so we're kind of getting an idea. That's like 23 or 24 hours difference or something like that. Something kind of crazy. Anyway, listen, let's dig off into it. There's some myths that we have about China and, Russia, and I'm going to be asking about that. But tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and in your passions, what drives you.
Well, really my biggest passion is motorcycles. I worked for Harley-Davidson for 10 years, and before the economy fell, I just, that was my life. Day in, day out, nothing but horsepower, adrenaline, chrome, and speed. It was a lot of fun.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't tell you this, but I saw you mention that briefly in one of your communiques to me. I've been riding since 1978, but I'm a Honda guy, and I graduated to the Gold Wings in the 80s and just continued to get them until finally I laid it down 3 times in 1 month. So I guess, you know, the jury was out. I was done riding, right? Yeah, but nobody got hurt other than my feelings, okay, more than that. So, but what do you do professionally now? What's your thing?
Professionally, what I do is I'm logistics and aid support for refugees in conflict zones.
Wow, that's
so I help people get out of the way of things going boom.
Wow. Honorable, you've heard a little bit about what I do, and I can see why we have so much in common. The thing that I was looking forward to about Russia as it relates to destroying a lot of the myths. Have you ever been to the United States?
I was born in the United States.
Oh, really? What part of the country?
The Northwest.
Okay.
I joined the U.S. military at 16, went to college, studied Russian, and was in the heat of the mix in uniform while the Cold War was still about. So.
Oh, wow. So you've had some experiences in life. So where do you get this straight, direct response that you have? Because as I mentioned, I can tell you don't cut corners, okay? Where did this come from?
I grew up in a dysfunctional household, and I was always told I had a smart mouth, and I never backed down from it, and I've never been afraid to speak my opinion, and if I can help back it up with fact, Lord help you, because I'm not going to shut up.
Well, and I hope that doesn't change anytime soon.
No, so, I've been in front of admirals and captains and said it like it is.
And we won't ask you if you've been court-martialed. Then. We'll leave that alone, okay?
No court-martials. Never any of those.
Well, you know, there's a word that I'm going to throw at you. It's called conspiracy. You and I, you read an article that I had. I can't remember the specific one, but it talked about the word conspiracy. There's been some people who said that, you know, you just kind of pop off and, you know, you're just talking and things aren't real. I beg the difference, but tell me about conspiracy. Because you don't seem to be paranoid, you're not schizophrenic. Talk about conspiracy just briefly.
Well, there's two tracks of information out there. I mean, there's what the media feeds you, and then if you've been in the military and you've been doing the do, there's what you get, and you know that it is completely different from what is on TV.
Absolutely.
And even being in the military, you don't get the straight dope. You get what they feed you is their flavor of the truth. So
they call it on a need to know base, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, the need-to-know basis. And the thing is I work joint services. So I did time in the Navy, the Marine Corps, and the National Guard. And everybody has got their different little flavor on what the truth is. But because I was in a joint services unit, I got to see how each different service sliced the truth. And a lot of times... They were at odds with each other. So, you know, you got Branch A saying one thing, and then you got Branch B saying the exact opposite. And seeing it from that level, you get to wonder, well, how much of what I'm actually being told is true? And so you start to go out and you look, and well, things start to add up, or things don't start to add up. And a lot of what they say is conspiracy theory is just because it's not in the mainstream media and it's not accepted. So what they were saying was conspiracy theory 50 years ago is now mainstream, pretty much publicly accepted. So,
can you give me an example?
Sure, Sure. Well, of course, the Kennedy assassination, at the time it would have been a conspiracy theory to say the CIA did it. But now saying that the CIA did it is mainstream cult myths. I mean, that always comes up whenever you're talking about it. But 50 years ago, that was conspiracy theory. So,
wow. Now, that's a great example.
I'm not saying the CIA did it because, you know, I don't know. But the thing is, 50 years ago, that whole notion was off the table. Now it's, you know, it's the appetizer to what else is going on behind the scenes.
So true. Is there a difference between conspiracy and propaganda?
Well, the propaganda is just spin on what they want you to believe. Conspiracy theory, I would say, is a line of questioning and a line of attack of what you're being told. So it's the opposite side of the coin. Propaganda is them telling you what they want you to believe. And I would say conspiracy theory is not taking what they're saying and trying to find out yourself.
I'm going to take it somewhere along your illustrious career. You recognize that you've been lied to.
Oh, I was in the business of telling lies. That's what you see on TV, we created. So I know it's a lie because I wrote a good portion of that. So
now let's dig up into the different parts of the world that we live in and address this word called truth. Since you've been in both countries, we believe in America that we are right and everybody else is confused. Okay. Is that something that you see a lot in other countries as well?
Well, I definitely think that each country has its own nationalistic push of our way is right and our way is the best. I think every nation does that to an extent. But if you do it beyond the scope of reality and evidence, then yeah, it's just propaganda.
So, you know, it's interesting when we talk about propaganda, or lies or mixed truths, it brought me to a realization that I can kind of almost remember the first lie that I was told, and I'm still wondering now, was that part of a bigger conspiracy or propaganda, which was that there was a guy who was with a big white beard who would come into my home if I've been a good boy for a whole year and give me a lot of presents. And I didn't know if I was supposed to worship him more than God, or at least be equal. And then as I got a little bit older, I started noticing, wait a minute, we don't have a chimney. and then the second part was when my parents said, oh, don't worry about it, he has a key. And I'm going, this guy is probably very busy, and he's only six right there. They're going to be awfully tired. But I believe that from the people who I trusted the most. And what really broke my heart when I finally realized that I was being duped and lied to. Because as you just mentioned, the 50-year-old propaganda of the assassination of JFK, this one that I just mentioned of believing in Santa Claus was something that we were all raised on, but also from someone who we trusted. And when that trust is broken, what does it do to an individual, and or what does it do to a society when we trust and put all of our faith into what they say and we find out that it's not true?
I honestly don't know. I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness family. We didn't have Santa Claus. So I never believed in Santa.
Well, but you've also noticed that there were a lot of people. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do you think that
I got in trouble
affected
every
them?
Year for telling kids that Santa wasn't real? I don't know.
Oh, so your career started off very early. of being the myth busting. So can you think of some things that we just really don't know about Russia, where Russia is being misunderstood?
Well, the big thing is that Russia is not a fan of the New World Order. They are not online with a global currency or a global government or a global one world ideology. They are very nationalistic. They like their country to remain independent and sovereign and separate. They don't want to sign up for that. So anybody who opposes the New World Order, the One World Government, the UN, the overarching imposition of power, is labeled an enemy. So because Russia opposes that, then obviously they have to be painted as an enemy.
Wow. Now that's heavy. What do you think that Russia has in common with the United States in particular?
They're a large, grand, wide territory. I mean, they're 12 time zones. They still have areas that don't have power, that don't have electricity, that don't have internet, and are still very rough and rugged. They had an expansion into their eastern side of the country, their frontier that mirrors ours, but they're very strong and independent people that very proud of their nation, and so I think that we both have that in common, but they read more than. They read a lot more than we do. And we're talking old text, hard book, hard ink, hard paper. They read more than we do. I mean, I'm talking to students that are 15 years old that have read War and Peace. You just don't get you don't get that in America. They're very, very well read, and they're not fooled by the glitzy show of media. So they're an older society, so when you look at what America is going through now with its political ideology, and you look at Russian history, they've already been through it because they're an older nation. And
sure.
If you look at Russian history and you backdate, I would say about 160 years, you will see the same trends in America that happened in Russia about 160 years ago.
Wow. Now, that's got to be one of the highlights. I would have never known that. Because we only have a limited amount of time, I need to dig off into something that I think you and I both share by being veterans, fighting for a war that could have possibly been propagandized, whatever the reasons were. As veterans, we don't get caught into the politics. I think we agree with that, to the point that, if we call the duty, we do. However, I want to talk about our veterans as they come home, that as a veteran, they learned a certain set of skills that are not always applicable in today's society. And one of the things that I am doing here in the States is building an academy so that our veterans, one, can get off the street, because I think that's a crime that you walk the country and end up on the street and nobody sees you here. So that's one thing. After getting them off the street, providing them with education skills and marketable skills, the thing that I'm really looking forward to doing from there, though, is linking us and our veterans, those that are needy around the world. Sure, there are humanitarian outlets that government sponsored, but we know that's very, very, very political. And we're doing a little bit more, taking initiative ourselves. Does veterans in your community need some skills, some marketable skills? Or is there a homeless population that's going on there in Russia? Can you talk about that?
Well, I'm not in Russia, so I'm in Central Asia.
Sure.
The veterans in Russia are different because they have compulsory service. Every male is in the military, without exception, unless you're rich or you're politically connected. So there is no section of society that is painted as baby killers, because guess what? Everybody's been in the military, usually 2 to 4 years. So it's a different, it's a completely different game. It's not the exception that you were in the military, it's the exception that you weren't in the military. So it's a completely different
game. Oh, wow.
So, they still, Russia has got currently more gun rights and more gun freedom than America. You can individually pack and carry and conceal a handgun in Russia legally anywhere. And you can carry an open AK-47 across your back if you wish. And it happens all the time. So, but for veterans coming, for U.S. veterans coming back home, the biggest thing is that you're coming back from a world where you were in charge, where you were responsible, you were given the task of leadership, and now you're coming back to a world that, you know, if you didn't go to the right school or you didn't go to school at all, nobody wants to talk to you. And if you don't put a resume through their, you know, little website, you know, you're only going to get seen for 6 seconds at a time anyway. And eventually, you just keep hitting that wall again and again and again. You give up. So that's what's frustrating coming back home from the military. Is we had so much responsibility, and we had people's lives in our hands, and we were doing the do. And we come back to America, and we can't even get a menial job.
Wow, that is a great way to keep that. You know, and I just think about the leadership role, you know, because, you know, I'm a Vietnam vet, and our big issue was we had to figure out how to work this as a team. But one of the things that happened in the military was that the issues of racism didn't play a part only after we got through fighting. We went right back to our little pocket, like a nation. Does Russia military have that same kind of challenge?
Well, they're across 12 different time zones, and, you know, they used to be over 20 republics. So they've always been an international force. What they've done in the past is they would have nationally or ethnically segregated units, but they would have Russian commanders over those units during the Soviet Union. So all of your officers were all Moscow trained or Leningrad trained, and you know, throughout the Caucasus and throughout Central Asia, you know, you may have a bunch of Kazakhs, but your commander was from Russia. He was from Moscow. So,
okay.
But and that was command and control. They wanted one for language, two for integrity, and three, of course, because it was the communist socialist system. They only put people in power that were of the party, and they typically didn't let ethnics from other countries be in the party politics. But I came through the military a bit later. I signed up in 86. So my first big war was Gulf One. And I never saw racism in the military. I never saw it. Everybody who was on your team was yep. on your team was in the same color uniform. You were fighting the same stuff. You were doing the same thing. And it just didn't matter. And what we used to say in the unit was, a bullet is truly equal opportunity. It doesn't count.
I remember that thing.
Where you're from. Where you're born, who your parents are. It just don't count.
Yep. Yep. Because when someone caught a bullet or was injured, it, like you said, it didn't matter. We'd help that guy out and try to preserve his life as best that we could, and it didn't matter. And I only mentioned that aspect because I wanted the listeners to know that that silliness of racism is really what I said. It's silly, makes no sense in the big scheme of things, and unfortunately, we hope that there is not going to be a cataclysmic event that will make our countries work together even more. We're going to do now, as we prepare to close off, I'd like to back off a little bit and just allow you the floor to be able to share anything that you may want to, or even ask me any questions about our shows, products, or services that we are doing, or just comments to our many listeners across the country and around the world.
Well, one of the things that I did in the civilian world was medical claims, medical review, and patient advocacy. So one of the things that I'm really, really passionate about is making sure that our vets get the care that they need, the medication, treatment, and consultations that they need so that they can get through the health things that are affecting their life, affecting their way to make money and survive. So the current VA system is just an absolute mess. But the last 10 years, I've been helping vets pro bono get through the vet system. So that is my goal, is to help as many vets as I can to get them the care that they need.
Well, and that is a serious issue. Federal government, from time to time, donates land to nonprofits, and one of the projects that we just fortunately was able to take advantage of was a 164-acre facility, square-foot facility that homeless. And one of the things that I included in my proposal, not just former foster kids, but veterans. And so if there's anything that we can do, do let us know. Committed, been there, and if they could take me again, I stand up for this country, and I'm going to be sending out some information to local politician, Maxine Waters, who wanted to know how my show was going to turn out. I go, I have no idea, but I'm optimistic, and I'm upbeat, and, we just dance. You know, she goes, well, I had written a script. What you gonna ask? I go, no, I'm dealing with a warrior, okay? Warriors, we don't have scripts. We just gotta deal with it and do the skills that we have to make something happen, okay? So, Brian, I have been so deeply honored, and it has been a privilege to have you on the air. What I would love to do is invite you back from time to time to talk about specific topics that we can dig further in, and even welcome the our show to our callers. We've had right now 78 callers who have listed on my switchboard who would love to be talking right now, and unfortunately I can't do that because it disrupts what we want to do. We want to introduce you. So is there a possibility we may be able to get you back?
It's going to depend, of course, upon my connection and what the war across the border is doing, because you may not have seen it on TV, but they're killing people in this portion of the world. So sometimes electricity and connections just don't work. So
okay.
I've got a very hectic schedule.
I totally understand, and I do get it. So even if you ever want to do a podcast, or if you, that way you can just send it to us, or if there's some of your articles, we'd love to be able to share some of those with folks as well, okay?
Absolutely. I appreciate your time. Thanks for having me on. And I look forward to helping vets as we can. And, yeah, just making lives better and helping people through it.
Likewise. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Brian McKinsey, and you have just listened to Grassroots Talk. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.